Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadget 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about Mobile World Congress 2018. The event in Barcelona is scheduled to take place 1 week from the time we are recording this. So to talk about the phones that are going to be launched at MWC 2018, we have our reviews people. That's Royden Sarejo.
Hey, what's up guys?
And Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I'm your host Pranay Parab. So a bunch of announcements are expected at MWC. This is usually the... maybe the second biggest tech expo in the world after CES, which happened in January. And I think the next one coming is IFA, right? In Berlin. So these are the three big tech expos of the year, apart from individual events from various tech companies. So Mobile World Congress is of prime importance to us because we care a lot about mobile phones. And we'll have big launches coming up from the likes of Samsung, Nokia, Asus, Sony, LG, and pretty much every other major telecom company and mobile company you can think of, barring some, you know, notable exceptions such as maybe Google and Apple. So first, I think we should be talking about Samsung, which has traditionally been hogging the limelight at MWC. Even last year, I think they made quite the splash over there. So Samsung, we are expecting them to launch the S9 and the S9 Plus, right?
So these will be the follow-ups to the S8 and the S8 Plus that launched last year. And in terms of, I think, design and... in terms of design, I don't think we should expect anything major, like a major overhaul. I think it'll mostly be like a polished... polishing out the rough edges from last year's design, at least from what the leaked renders have shown so far. However, unlike the last year's models, the S9 and the S9 Plus could be quite different smartphones. It's not going to just be a difference of screen size and battery capacity.
Yeah, so that's something, that's actually a very important point because I've always felt that the S8, S8 Plus and the Note 8 are way too close to each other and the differentiation factor is not that much.
Right.
I mean, barring that stylus and maybe a couple of extra software tweaks, I don't think there was that much more new in the Note 8 as such. And even between the S8 and the S8 Plus, the size difference is not so much that you'd want to get one over the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I think this year that it might just have more differences. I think the S9 Plus is rumored to have the dual camera setup, and whereas the S9 probably will be a single camera.
Yeah. Now, where have I seen that before?
Okay. And the fingerprint scanner, they've kind of finally... gotten it positioned better because the S8 and the S8 Plus had it right next to the camera module, and even when we were using it, we kind of smudged the camera lens more often trying to find where the camera where the fingerprint scanner was. So this time it looks like they've kind of got the design right, like Royden said, they've just polished it. Because this year you would expect a lot of phones with the 18:9 display, and Samsung already did it last year. So,
yeah, I mean, they sort of like, I mean, them and LG and a bunch of others sort of set the trend for what we've seen, what we're going to see this year. And like, I don't think any new launches this year would be without the 18:9 display. And if it is without, then I don't think anyone's really going to look at that phone.
Yeah, and another reason why Samsung has really dominated MWC in recent times is that they've managed to make some sort of an exclusive partnership with Qualcomm that gives them access to the latest chip for a period of certain months when no other phone manufacturer can have that.
Yeah.
So I think that is actually harming the competition overall in the Android space.
Right.
Because the likes of LG, whatever phone they launch, the flagship phone, usually will be like one generation behind the latest Samsung phone.
Yeah, so last year the A35 was exclusive to Samsung, at least initially. But this time, at least based on what the leaks and rumors we've been hearing for other manufacturers as well, a lot of those flagships also are set to have the new 845 chip. Now, the difference could be when those phones actually reach the market. So Samsung could have some sort of exclusive tie-up with Qualcomm, saying that they would be they would have the first phones in the market with 845. Hmm. And these guys would probably have to launch their phones maybe a month later, or two, a little later on in the market. So I don't think they would sacrifice the 845, but I don't think they would be able to launch it at the same time as Samsung if that deal is in place.
Because if the deal is in place, it probably restricts Qualcomm from shipping the chips to other manufacturers. So they kind of have no option but to wait for the chipsets to you know, arrive. And the other problem is that the 845 won't come to India anytime soon because Samsung is known to launch their own Exynos-powered phones. Yeah. So it's only in the US where people will actually get to see what the Qualcomm 845 is capable of doing. Whereas I think we will get the Exynos 9810, which is the newest Exynos processor to be powering the S9 and the S9 Plus.
So I think, you know, moving on from the chip discussion, there are more things coming from Samsung. We are going to see a new DeX accessory, which is basically something that lets you turn your Samsung phones, the flagship ones at least, into like proper computers. So you plug that phone into the accessory and the accessory is connected to a monitor and you get separate Bluetooth keyboard and mice and then ultimately you can use it like a computer with the UI optimized for a big screen, obviously, when it goes into DeX mode. So
this is something like basically like Windows Continuum that was there on Windows Phone 10 in the Lumias. So we had the DeX I think last year. And this time there is a rumor that they might have an upgraded version of the DeX, which is basically like a dock where you dock your Samsung phone in, and then the Android it's mirrored onto a monitor. So you have like a desktop-like experience, but it's obviously still Android.
Yeah. And Samsung is usually known to bring its phones to India pretty fast, unlike some other manufacturers such as maybe LG. So I think we will be eventually seeing these phones coming to India by like end of March or early April.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they come as early as that.
So that and
honestly, even if you think about it, there's virtually no competition for the new Samsung phones because the phones that are currently being launched in India, like you take the U11 Plus for example, it still has the 835, and other phones, even if you know you think about Nokia or something, they will be launching with 835 and not 845 because they have to wait for it. So Samsung effectively has like an open field to run ahead.
So that's actually like as far as buyers are concerned, it's a good thing that, you know, Samsung is going to be bringing that phone, which is going to most probably going to be a proper powerhouse to India, because what Samsung does is, I think it has this plant in Noida, right? Where they make in India, so that reduces the price of the phone quite a bit as compared to, you know, what other manufacturers are able to offer, especially in the high end. So we are expecting, obviously, prices to be a little higher this time around.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, Apple raised the prices, right? So Samsung also will follow the same strategy. So is there any other product coming in from Samsung?
We could expect a new tablet. Like, I think last year they had launched the Tab S3. So this year we could get like the Tab S4. Although I don't think how many people would actually care about an Android tablet in this day and age.
I mean, you know, I think Google pretty much itself has abandoned that idea of tablet. And I think they're focusing more on that Chrome OS Chrome Android experience.
And the Chromebook kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You have the 2-in-1.
But besides a tablet, I'm guessing we could see refreshes for the smartwatches, like a new Gear Fit or a Gear
S4
smartwatch, fitness band basically.
That is possible because I don't know what Android Wear is up to.
Where is Android Wear?
And if we're lucky, I mean, I don't know, we could see a teaser for this foldable smartphone that has been in the rumor mill for a while at least.
That also could be possible. Maybe we could see a vision for the future or something.
In
that, like a prototype display.
The only unfortunate thing in all of this is that, like, I think Indian consumers for Samsung particularly don't get some of the amazing pre-order offers that maybe their US counterparts do. So let's see. Hopefully this DeX, which was announced for free last year, it was free for those who pre-order. So something like that, if that comes in for those who pre-order, then that's a great thing. Let's see what they do, because I think 2 years ago they had the Gear VR on offer. But I think in the last, maybe for Note 8 and for S8, the pre-order offers in India were not that amazing.
Yeah, the S7s did come with that Gear VR.
So let's hope that, you know, that offer continues so that those who buy on day one, they get something extra to go with it. And, you know, those buyers are rewarded. But Samsung does their pricing really well. So thankfully, you know, it's not going to be the case that once the phone launches, within a month, the prices drop to like, you know, 40,000 or something.
Actually, the right thing would be Samsung controls its prices really, really well. You know, it's got a very tight grip on the offline and the online market.
And that is pretty much how it should be for like this, these kinds of phones, especially on the flagship level. So that, you know, people don't feel shafted after they buy the phone.
Absolutely.
So moving on. I think the other major announcement that we can expect apart from Samsung is maybe, okay, maybe I'll just skip through that. First, let's go to the interesting one, because that would be Asus.
Okay.
So the leak that we've seen, it shows that Asus is planning some kind of a notch on its phone, which we have already seen on the iPhone 10.
Okay.
And this year's MWC, we are expecting the trend to be phones with 18:9 displays, which means more screen, less bezel.
Yeah.
So from the Asus notch, like, do you guys think it'll be it's a good idea?
I mean, no, obviously not. I mean, I don't know why you would copy something like that. I mean, I guess it is to, like, maybe look like an iPhone 10 alternative for those who can't afford an iPhone 10. But it's really, really stupid if you ask me. Yeah, so basically Asus, the Zenfone 5 will be their new series, and the new render or whatever has been leaked looks alarmingly like the 10. Even the camera setup is like this vertical dual camera setup in the back. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, off late, the Zenfone series started off with a big bang, like when they got into the whole thing initially.
Yeah, value and for money.
Yeah, they were pretty decent phones. But then I think the momentum has just sort of died down for Asus, and at least for smartphones.
Also, it doesn't help their case that, you know, you have like the Zenfone 4 and then the Zenfone 4 Selfie. And then, you know, some
The lineup was extremely confusing.
Because when they launched it in India, they already launched the Zenfone 4, 4.5, 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And those were like sub 15,000 rupee phones.
But those are still easy to make out, because the 4 basically corresponded to the screen size. So 4 is a 4-inch screen, 4.5 is 4.9.
And that was the main idea.
Not anymore.
So, and now, like Pranay said, you will have the Zenfone 5, the Zenfone 5 Selfie, the Zenfone 5 Selfie Lite, probably a Zenfone 5 Go.
I'm pretty sure there'll be a Plus and a whole bunch of other names thrown
out.
And Zenfone 5 Max with bigger
and
battery.
And an Ultra as well.
Okay, but you brought an interesting point here, the Zenfone Go Selfie, which you mentioned, right? Go. So I just remembered that there was a rumor some time back which said that Asus is also working on an Android Oreo Go edition smartphone, which, as we know, is going to be a budget phone running that Android Go edition of Android Oreo, which is basically optimized for phones with 512 MB of RAM or less.
So it'll actually be interesting to see how, you know, a Go phone kind of pans out, because HTC, Asus has got very, very few phones in the, the sub 5000, because that is where the Go would be positioned. Because if you're looking at like 512 MB of RAM or 1 GB of RAM, it probably won't be around 10,000 rupees. It'll be much cheaper.
Yeah.
And Asus at this point does not have much presence in that segment. Most of these phones are Max or Selfie, which are somewhere around 8,000 to 12,000 rupees. So it'll be interesting to see if Asus goes ahead with the Zenfone 5 Go.
Yeah, and, or whatever or, it is called.
Yeah, and if it'll make its way to India.
A bunch of manufacturers are already working on these phones from the leaks we've seen so far. So the likes of Reliance Jio, Micromax, and Nokia, I think, are all like have some kind of an Android Go project in the works, because everybody wants a slice of that pie, like under 5,000, because that is where the volumes are. Like, the lower the price, the more the number of people who can afford your phones, and then ultimately the more the number of people who are your customers.
Absolutely. Also, if you look at the price segment, I think a lot of people, because we have people shifting from, say, a normal 2G phone, like a feature phone, to a smartphone. So that's why you have a bigger audience in that price segment. And for someone else as well who would want a phone, they probably won't think as much when buying, like, say, a 4,000 or a 5,000 rupee phone versus buying a much more expensive phone.
Yep. And also, like, over the course of the last 2 years or so, we've been seeing that the quality of the sub 10,000 phones has been getting, like, seriously impressive.
Yeah.
And now you can buy phones at, like, the 6,000 rupee price point, which is decent, like, which will work for you for, like, 2-3 years easily. If you have, you know, if your use is limited, such as maybe, you know, you just use it for WhatsApp and messages.
Yeah,
so it'll work just fine. Whereas this was not the case a little while back. Like, you know,
you'll probably have to reset the phone every 6 months just to make it work a little faster.
Don't forget that auto factory reset feature, which used to come in some phones. You did nothing and the phone would just reset itself.
Wow.
So anyway, moving on to the launch that we think is the most important for the Indian market, which is HMD Global, the company that owns that has licensed the Nokia brand for now. So, Aditya, do you want to take over?
So, it's Nokia, like, it came back, I think, with the Nokia 6 as the first phone in India. And then had other phones, you know, being introduced sometime later. And they did, like, fairly well. At MWC, they're expected to launch more phones.
Yeah, so there are two reasons for this. One is obviously the Nokia brand is very powerful in India. And the second thing is that they announce a price usually at MWC, which is in euros. Yeah. And the price in India almost
somewhat similar.
Matches that conversion, currency conversion.
So I think Nokia has been very aggressive with it. And even when we look at their last year's flagship, the Nokia 8, It was good. It did not try to do a lot of stuff. It just stuck to the basics and something similar to what the OnePlus 5 was offering, if I may. And yeah, with Nokia, you can expect like an upgraded version of the 8 or maybe the Nokia 9 with the 18:9 display and other phones as well. I think there's the Nokia 1, the Nokia 4 and the 7 Plus that is expected. Now, the 1 and 4, looking at their numbering strategy, the Nokia 2 was a low-end phone. So, Nokia 1 might be even cheaper. It might just be a Go edition if they have their licensing stuff figured out with Google. So, you can see the Nokia 1 as a Go edition phone. The Nokia 4 would be slightly higher. 7 Plus, probably in the 20-25 segment because Nokia does not have a presence over there. And the Nokia 9 will be the flagship, which will be somewhere around the 30,000 to 40,000 mark.
I expect it to be a bit higher because the Nokia 8 is in that 30,000 to 40,000bracket.
Yeah, so the Nokia 8 is, I think, somewhere around 32,000 to 35,000 right now.
Yeah.
And with, you know, the 5T being at 39, you can expect
that's a OnePlus 5T, right?
Yeah, the OnePlus 5T around. So,
I expect the Nokia 9 to be around the 40,000 price mark.
That's where it will be.
Yeah, so, I mean, the numbering strategy that you mentioned, there's only one notable exception to that, which is the 3310. Probably the, you know, only phone that I think is very overpriced in the Nokia lineup.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll see an announcement of the 3310 4G also at this event, which was seen in China earlier.
So they had earlier only launched the Nokia 3310 3G model. And
2G in to begin with.
First. And I think people are looking at 4G feature phones or smart feature phones, as we like to call it. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of OS it's running because honestly, even when people are kind of fine with the option of having like WhatsApp on a feature looking phone, as long as the price is affordable.
Yeah, so from what I know, the Nokia 3310 does not really have WhatsApp at this point. So that's one of the major like problems with that phone. Second thing is that the 4G one, which we saw in China, it was running something called a YunOS, which is a forked version of Android, like I think made by Alibaba, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be wrong on that. But yeah, like it was running that YunOS, which is a forked version of Android. So that means that, you know, even if the phone doesn't come with WhatsApp, you could probably sideload it easily. And, you know,
it should be able to run it.
Get the app on the phone. So let's see how that goes. Hopefully that's announced and hopefully that comes to India at a reasonable price. I would say a 4G feature phone at 3,310 rupees, you know, that's fine. But a 2G feature phone, I mean, at that price is way too expensive. So that I think pretty much covers the announcement that we're expecting from Nokia.
And HMD Global.
Yes, and HMD Global. So the final main launch event is going to be, I think, from LG, right?
Yeah.
So the LG is expected to launch some phones in the K series, the K8 and the K10, I think. But are we going to see an upgrade on the G series?
So, so LG has already issued like a release to expect like the K10 and K8, which are their budget phones. But according to like whatever news and rumors have been roaming around, it doesn't seem like we'll see the successor to the G6 at MWC because LG, according to the company's CEO, has said that, you know, they want to take their time and get it right instead of just rushing out an annual cycle. So we could see it launch at a later date, but we are also expecting it LG to maybe announce the an upgraded version of the V30. So we could see that.
That would be interesting because what LG did last year was that it was forced to launch the LG G6 with the Snapdragon 820 processors because the 835 wasn't present. And a couple of months later, probably a month or two later, there were manufacturers with the Snapdragon 835 chipset because of which the LG G6 had no takers in the market And we saw prices crash for the G6, wherein, you know, it had to be discounted because they simply weren't shipping enough
units. I remember in the first week itself, the price fell by 10,000 rupees
or something. Yeah, so it's kind of really hard for LG. And I think it makes sense for them to wait for the 845 to be available and then go ahead with, the G7 as it would be named if, you know,
G6. Yeah, exactly. So, you know what? I actually attended an LG event sometime last year in 2017. And at that point, like one of their top India executives was saying that, you know, they've just not been good enough with their phone strategy somehow. Like it's, you know, other manufacturers have done much better. Okay. It was a refreshingly honest take to hear from them. And they said that they are working on like some things to make it better. And that's when they announced that the V30 will be coming to India. So hopefully this strategy now which they are following is going to be much better than last year's, which is, you know, launch an upgraded version of the V30 and the K8 and K10, which I don't expect to be flagship phones. So then beyond that, the GE series can wait, and your flagship series, you know, it's actually a flagship and not like a generation old phone. There's no need to like bow under pressure to launch everything at MWC. Launch when your product is ready.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes more sense, honestly, like the wait and watch strategy, because it like ship you anyways have to put in a lot of efforts in making a phone, and with an older processor, like a gen old processor,
it's dead on arrival.
It's pretty much dead on arrival.
So finally, I think there are a bunch of other events that are going to happen at MWC. We can't obviously cover every single one of them on the podcast, but Troyden, if you could just quickly run us through what Sony is going to announce.
So, Sony's stuff has also leaked a bit, and from what we've seen, we could see the new next versions of the Xperia XZ, which would probably be called the Xperia XZ2 and the XZ2 Compact. These are expected to sport a Snapdragon 845, obviously, finally an 18:9 display, so Sony will finally be moving to a taller display.
But I seriously hope Sony changes the design, their design language, because it's been the same since the Xperia Z, which was launched somewhere in 2013, and you know, you have the same block like design. So they in called white. It like they called it the Omnibalance design, and then they slightly tweaked it and called it the Loop design. And I'm honestly expecting that they would change it instead of just putting in a bigger display and calling it a completely new refresh.
I think you're expecting too much.
I am not sure. I don't know. I kind of have a soft corner for Sony. And I hope
that they have good hardware. It's just a shame that they're not able to market it well enough. But anyway, besides these two phones, we could also see something called the XZ Pro, which would most likely be like the next version of the XZ Premium, which is their crazy flagship 4K super high-end 4K display powered for smartphone. So that is something which could possibly arrive as well. Besides Sony, I think Huawei has teased something on Twitter saying a different perspective is coming. And the only thing that the only clue that we have over here is some sort of animation which looks like it could be a new notebooks. So Huawei has had MateBooks in the past, and we could see new versions of that. Although it's still hard to tell what exactly they would be announcing. We could see new smartwatches from Huawei. They have launched a bunch of smartwatches before as well. Although in terms of smartphones, I think the P10 and the P10 successor would probably come at a separate event later on in
probably.
The year.
Probably. But you know, talking about smartwatches, I'm a little curious as to what these manufacturers will power it by, because the Snapdragon Wear processor is pretty much the only Snapdragon processor for wearables.
Yeah, and it's not been updated in 2 years.
Yeah, it's not been updated. So, you know, what do these guys pitch, you know, as an upgrade? Because, yeah, you can add more features. But
I think Huawei has its own chip manufacturing ability,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's not using it in their watch. So
I don't see what's stopping them. Because if they can make a chip for smartphones as good as the competition, then why not?
So it might just be interesting to see if they have a Kirin-powered smartwatch.
Maybe that could be something new that they would announce.
Yeah, so let's see how that goes.
And finally, I think the next big brand of interest would be Lenovo or Motorola. So recently, I think a few days back only, we had leaked renders of the new G series, which is a mainstream smartphone lineup.
Like, which was the series that brought Motorola back to life.
Yeah, essentially. So we could see the new G6, there's a new G6 Plus, and maybe a new G6 Play, all of which have 18:9 displays. And the body design looks very similar to the X4.
And so, also, I think the Play naming is what they've got back after a while, because it was there for the G4, if I remember. So you had the G4, the G4 Play, and the G4 Plus. And that's, and it wasn't there for the G5 or the G5S.
Yeah, the G5 missed that, you're right.
Yeah, and now they've got it back for the G6. So yeah, I think it might just mean, like, this is how I'm interpreting it, that the top end might just be a little more expensive. So they will keep the G6 a little lower, the G6 Play in the middle.
So personally, I like Motorola a lot more when they were owned by Google, because their branding was so clear, right?
Yeah.
Moto E is their budget phone. G is mid-range and X is on the higher end, right?
Yeah.
So it was such a simple strategy, you could easily follow it. But now, like, ever since it's gone to Lenovo, it's developed a bit of Asus syndrome, where, like, you know, you really can't tell one phone from another, like, just based on the name.
Yeah.
Now they have the G5, then they have the G5S, then they have the G5 Plus, the G5S Plus. And now you're telling me that G6 is going to come in some Play and Pro. And whatnot. So it's just, like, becoming increasingly difficult for me to follow and keep a track of, like, the number of phones these guys launch and which is the good one among these. Mm. So
I think Nokia
that
has
changes.
Kind of gotten it right. No? So, like, as if the number's bigger, the phone's more powerful.
Yeah.
So that's kind
of... Yeah, I mean, it's simpler for... It's like sends a clear message, like Pranay said also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, I think Nokia is like also going down that confusing route if, you know, this Nokia 8 Pro comes to life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, there's already a Nokia 8, right?
Yeah.
So why, like, create one more variant just, you know, in the middle? I don't know. So probably some of the tricks that other manufacturers used at one point, which is just to have the same brand name, just like update the year. Like, I think Samsung does with the J series.
Yeah.
It's, J7 is J7. You know what to expect from it. Mm-hmm. Just like every year, maybe they give a refresh. 2016, 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
So, no, but they've also added the Prime and the Pro and the Plus.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So let's see how that goes. I think that about pretty much covers the MWC rumors and leaks and a preview for this year's edition. So we will be bringing you a live, not a live, but a podcast soon after MWC 2018's biggest announcements are up. So stay tuned for that next week. As always, thank you so much for listening. And if you like this show, then don't forget to rate us on iTunes and subscribe to the show. And you can also write to us with your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. Bye-bye.